Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
We're going to fix this problem. We have to fix this problem. We have to resolve this because we are Kentucky. Starting with me as governor, starting with each and every one of you and everyone that you know.
Governor Matt Bevin says violence in Kentucky is out of control and he will soon unveil a plan to curb it. Senator Mitch McConnell made statements today regarding the Manchester bombing, and one company is taking steps to bring more healthcare professionals to the Commonwealth. In sports, the Reds host in-state rivals Cleveland tonight in Game 2. Bud Luke has the stock report. Partly cloudy and rainy tonight, lows around 58 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. First up this afternoon, an update. A judge in Ohio has dismissed evidence tampering and vandalism charges against the brother of one of eight victims of an unsolved massacre. Prosecutors asked for the dismissal Monday so they can take the case to a grand jury and keep additional evidence out of court. The charges accused James Manley of Peebles of destroying a GPS tracking device. Investigators trying to solve the slayings placed the device on Manley's truck last month. Manley turned himself in last week. He hasn't been named a suspect in the killings. His lawyer thinks investigators are trying to pressure Manley and wants to know what evidence prosecutors have. Manley's sister was among eight members of the Roden family shot near Piketon in April 2016. No arrests have been made in the slayings. Two men accused in the 2014 slaying of a Bath County man have been given 20-year prison terms. According to the Moorhead News, Marcus Stewart and Demario Powell, who are both 21 years old and from Moorhead, were both sentenced last Friday in connection with the robbery and killing of 20-year-old Beau Otis at his mobile home in Clearfield. Stewart and Powell had earlier pled guilty to charges of facilitating murder, first-degree robbery, and first-degree burglary. Three other men, 22-year-old Jack Abrams of Elizabethtown, 22-year-old Anthony Rel Payson of Hogdenville, and 23-year-old Julius Kolowitz of Elizabethtown, were also charged in the case. Abrams has already been given a 30-year prison term on murder and other charges. Payson and Kolowitz are still awaiting trial. They're looking at several allegations, including murder. Kentucky State Police are investigating a multiple vehicle collision that killed a man fleeing from a traffic stop in Carter County. The Grayson Journal-Inquirer says the crash happened on Friday evening on Kentucky 7 just south of Grayson. Police say 36-year-old Jamie Howard was pulled over for reckless driving but drove off before being cited. Carter County Sheriff's Deputy Greg Gillum reportedly gave pursuit at a high speed but was not able to prevent Howard from striking the rear of an SUV as he attempted to pass it. Howard then lost control and was struck by another SUV heading in the opposite direction. He sustained fatal injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. The five other people involved in the collision sustained minimal to serious non-life-threatening injuries. Police say alcohol appears to have been a contributing factor in the crash. Ashland's police chief remains hopeful that more young people will start to consider law enforcement as a long-term career choice. Despite some of the negative press the profession has received in recent years, Tom Kelly says being in law enforcement has more than its share of rewarding moments.
You're a community leader. You're involved in making a difference. Unfortunately, there are the dark side or the negative indications, but you have an opportunity to make someone that's in a bad situation to turn it into a positive.
Kelly says, like in other places, members of Ashland's police force are true public servants. They are there to protect and help those in their community. He laments the fact that too many people today who get jobs in law enforcement don't stay in them for the long haul. Police in Kentucky say a stray bullet fired during an outdoor fight traveled through the window of a nearby home, killing a 7-year-old who was eating a bedtime snack at his kitchen table. Louisville Metro Police spokeswoman Lieutenant Emily McKinley says it appears a fight broke out Sunday night among a group of people in a yard near the boy's home and someone pulled a gun and began firing. The coroner's office said in a statement Monday that DeQuante William Lamar Hobbs Jr. died from a gunshot wound to the head. McKinley urged anyone involved in the fight, including the shooter, to come forward. Police say they have no suspects. McKinley says the boy's mother and grandmother were at the home and called 911. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. The governor is calling the rise of violent crime in Kentucky out of control. Following the shooting death of a 7-year-old boy in Louisville, Governor Bevin released a video on his Facebook saying the rise in violence is unacceptable. He says the shooting in Louisville broke an unfortunate record.
He's the 49th murder, 49th homicide this year in Louisville. This is unacceptable. This is a record number to this point in any given year, which is on top of the record last year, which was on top of the record the year before that. This has got to end.
The governor says there's a cultural and spiritual problem and that there is a lack of appreciation for human life. Bevin says he's currently working on a plan to address the violence in Kentucky. More details will be released sometime in the next week. A man who says he was wrongly imprisoned for crimes he did not commit is suing police and the sheriff's deputies involved in the investigation. 37-year-old William Anderson filed a lawsuit in federal court Monday accusing former Knox County Sheriff John Pickard and KSP Detective Jason York of coaching witnesses on what to say. In the suit, Anderson also accused York of assaulting a witness because the witness refused to implicate Anderson in the murder. Anderson spoke at a news conference calling the behavior unfit for police officers.
They're supposed to be people that you can trust. They go to schools and everywhere else. And your kids are supposed to trust them. How can you when there's people out there like that?
The case revolves around the killing of Bob Wiggins in Bell County in 2011. Anderson spent nearly 5 years in jail before a jury acquitted him. It is the second lawsuit since April to accuse Pickard and York, among others, of writing fake police reports and fabricating witness testimony before a grand jury in a murder case. A KSP spokesman says the agency could not comment on pending litigation. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is offering condolences to the victims of the Manchester bombing. Speaking on the Senate floor, McConnell called the bombing a callous terrorist attack.
It was, in the words of Prime Minister May, a callous terrorist attack that stood out for its appalling, sickening cowardice. It's hard to imagine the pain that the families of these victims must be feeling today. So on behalf of the Senate and our country, let me express our heartfelt condolences to the victims, their families, and to the British people who've been our friends and allies through many challenges.
McConnell says the U.S. will provide any assistance it can to its British ally. The Kentucky Democratic Party is reaching out to political groups on the county level with hopes of finding unity in the wake of President Donald Trump's election. Mary Nishimuda is the KDP's new executive director. She has been traveling around the state since she started the job last month as part of a 120-county outreach effort that began after Democrats lost control of the state's House of Representatives last year for the first time in nearly a century. Nishimuda tells Spectrum News Pure Politics the response has been encouraging.
Beyond our current membership, we also have a ton of people who are coming out who may not have been politically active before or maybe have been issues-oriented and not necessarily have ever focused on elections, and they're coming out of the woodwork and saying, how can I help? And so it's been amazingly encouraging that there is so much support from all corners of Kentucky to fight back.
Nishimuda tells the KDP will invite leaders of county parties to Frankfort for a summit on June 17th to develop a strategy ahead of the 2018 midterms with a focus on resources, tools, and networking. Nishimuda says the Democratic National Committee's Resistance Summer will also take place in early June. The national training program will capitalize on anti-Trump sentiment by giving matching grants to state Democratic parties and other like-minded groups. Kentucky taxpayers would need to spend $700 million each year to keep the troubled public pension system afloat. That's on top of the nearly $2 billion taxpayers are expected to spend on all of the state's retirement systems in the next fiscal year. State lawmakers were briefed on the new report. That's the second of three commissioned studies on the state's pension system. The final report will give recommendations about how the state can improve. Kentucky continues to have one of the worst-funded public pension systems in the country. Overall, the unfunded liability is more than $30 billion. A Medicaid-managed care provider will donate several thousand dollars to fund scholarships aimed at getting more doctors and nurses to Eastern Kentucky. Suzanne Duvall reports.
WellCare of Kentucky, along with the University of Kentucky Medical School, will fund up to 30 scholarships valued at $180,000 for medical and nursing students. WellCare Kentucky President Bill Jones says he hopes it bridges the gap in rural communities.
To keep our medical students that are graduating from the University of Kentucky in the state to practice in those rural areas.
The company will work in conjunction with the medical and nursing schools at UK. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
A company's plan to donate $180,000 to attract more doctors and nurses to Eastern Kentucky is being lauded by an official with the University of Kentucky's Rural Physician Leadership Program in Moorhead. WellCare of Kentucky will be funding up to 30 scholarships for programs related to primary care and psychiatry. As part of that effort, 21-year scholarships of $5,000 will go to incoming medical students in the Rural Physician Leadership Program. Dr. Tony Weaver is that program's assistant dean and says that money will come in handy.
The kind of people we get for the Rural Physician Leadership Program are young people that don't have a lot of money anyway to go to medical school. Medical school has become terrifically expensive. So any help we can give them financially is going to make a big difference in their ability to attend medical school and also in their career choices afterwards.
The goal of WellCare's donation is to encourage more young people to go into the medical field and then work in areas of Kentucky that have a shortage of such professionals, such as the state's Appalachian region. A medical center in Maysville has achieved an important distinction. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that LifePoint Health has named Meadowview Regional Medical Center as a Duke LifePoint Quality Affiliate. This designation recognizes hospitals that have enrolled in the LifePoint National Quality Program and have transformed their culture of safety, achieved high standards of quality care, performance improvement, and patient engagement. Meadowview earned the honor by implementing a number of best practices, launching new initiatives that engaged patients and families, enhancing patient safety, and improving quality care. MRMC is 1 out of 5 out of the 72 LifePoint hospitals to have ever earned this designation. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Kentucky Power awarded the Hazard Perry County Economic Development Alliance a $25,000 grant yesterday. This award is associated with the Kentucky Power Economic Development Growth Grants Program. Allison Barker is the spokeswoman for Kentucky Power.
There are criteria. We don't just fund operational costs. They had a plan to market their particular industrial park and their region to attract businesses and industry to the area, which will then in turn lead to jobs. Those are criteria that we look for in funding grant applications.
The five counties benefiting from the alliance's plan are Perry, Harlan, Breathitt, Knott, and Leslie. Ashland has some candidates in mind for its next city manager. MSPR's Arlo Barnett reports.
The Independent reports 3 people will be interviewed for the city manager position tomorrow by the Ashland Board of City Commissioners and the rest of the search committee, which has been looking for a replacement to former manager Benjamin Bitter for the past 15 months. 2 of the new applicants have a background in city management, while the 3rd is a current employee of the city. Commissioners will enter an executive session to discuss the candidates during their regular meeting on Thursday, but Mayor Steve Gilmore says the final vote will likely come later. The city manager position was nearly filled in March when Gary Huff of Piqua, Ohio, was prepared to take the job but changed his mind. It has been occupied on an interim basis since Bitter's forced departure, first by former city attorney Richard Martin and currently by Steve Corbett. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
Moorhead City Council passed the second reading of an ordinance that would greatly lower the fee for a temporary alcohol license. Council members voted on the matter during a special meeting yesterday. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the temporary license is designed for short-term, one-day events like music festivals.
If, in fact, in the future it goes to more than 1 day or 2 days, then we may revisit that and to see about what the fees can be commensurate with the number of days. But as it is right now, the whole thing was to make it more cost effective for someone to come in and provide the catering for that.
Trent says the city is working with Downtown Moorhead Incorporated to ensure the license is used appropriately. The final version of Moorhead's 2017-18 budget officially includes pay raises for city employees. According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, they'll be receiving 30 cent per hour across the board increases.
With this raise and this past January raise, that's 55 cents plus the 45 cents that we had my first year in. That's a dollar raise right there. And our goal is to always review from this point on after audits, midterm raises for possibly January again.
Trent says he's close to reaching his pledge of ensuring that no city worker is making less than $10 an hour. Also, as part of Moorhead's 2017-18 spending plan, the town will have $1.4 million in contingency money available. And finally, this afternoon in news, Main Street will again be the site of Moorhead's annual Memorial Day Parade. The event is scheduled to start at 11 a.m. next Monday. It's sponsored by the Round County Veterans Foundation. Its spokesman, Danny Knipp, says the parade is an important way to honor those who've served their country.
We need to honor veterans. Without the military in the past, we wouldn't have the freedoms we've got. And the freedoms we've got is guaranteed by the veterans.
Knipp says the veterans who take part in Memorial Day Parade will always appreciate the support of the people lining Main Street. Those taking part in the event are asked to line up between 9 and 10:30 on West Main Street that morning. For more information, you can call Danny Knipp at 606-356-4177. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight, partly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of rain showers early in the evening, lows around 58 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with an 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs around 70. Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies with lows near 55 degrees. On Thursday, partly cloudy skies and some scattered rain showers, highs around 65 degrees, and the chance of rain on Thursday is at 80%. It's currently 71 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 65 degrees in Inez. It's 72 degrees in Winchester, 75 degrees in Lexington, and in Moorhead it is at 70 degrees. The National Science Foundation has awarded Moorhead State University with a large grant. MSPR's Ellen Barnett has the story.
MSU will be receiving $1.2 million from the National Science Foundation's NOICE Teacher Scholarship. The money will be used to provide 34 scholarships for juniors and seniors majoring in teacher education or STEM-related fields. Students can receive up to $10,000 a year as NOICE scholars, with the stipulation that they agree to work as secondary education teachers in high-need districts of Kentucky per each full year of scholarship after they graduate. The grant supports MSU's Preparing Teachers of Mathematics and Science in Rural Districts program. Dr. Edna Schack, co-director of MSU Teach, says the grant will help MSU continue to improve its long tradition of preparing future teachers.
This will capitalize on that. It will strengthen our teaching. It will bring in some excellent students who are passionate about math and science and who can go back to their school districts in eastern Kentucky and teach and help high school students learn that same passion for mathematics and science.
Dr. Schack says NOICE scholars will be using a curriculum new to MSU based on Texas University's U Teach program. Other advantages of the program include spending a week in the Bronx, New York, gaining field experience as part of a partnership with New World High School. The school has a high percentage of ESL students and will be working with high schools in the Carter, Fleming, and Rowan County school districts, along with NOICE scholars on the development of a cross-cultural STEM speaker series for high schoolers. There is a growing demand in the state and the nation for effective and enthusiastic secondary teachers in STEM fields, but Shaq is quick to point out that the NOICE program will also encourage its students to be well-rounded.
STEM is not just science, technology, engineering, and math. You cannot be good at those things without having good communication skills, good skills working with other people, understanding culture and history, and social studies kinds of activities. So those are all integrated into the program, the curriculum that our students will be working with.
Dr. Shack says the first year of the NOICE program at MSU will focus on planning and development. NOICE has four levels of programs that can also be applied to graduate studies as well as research proposals. Applications for NOICE scholarships will be available this fall. More information about MSU Teach can be found at moreheadstate.edu/MSUTeach. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will bid for their second straight win over in-state rival Cleveland tonight when they host the Indians at 7:10. The Reds drew first blood in the series last night with a 5-1 victory behind right-hander Scott Feldman. Scott Schebler paced the Cincinnati offense by homering for a third straight game. He reached Tribe-losing pitcher Josh Tomlin for a second-inning solo shot.
I felt good. MVP just happened to put a good swing on a pitch down the middle, so he probably wasn't trying to throw it there, but you got to take advantage of the mistakes they make.
Rookie lefty Amir Garrett takes his 3-3 record to the mound for the Reds. The Indians will turn to 4-2 Carlos Carrasco. The OVC tournament begins tomorrow for the Morehead State baseball team down in Oxford, Alabama. The 34-21 Eagles will face the winner of today's UT Martin-Austin Peay game at 8 p.m., with his team winning its last two conference series of the regular season against Murray State and first-place Tennessee Tech. MSU coach Mike McGuire feels his club is ready to make some serious noise in the tournament.
We're going to go down there very confident and just got to play like we're capable of. And I think if we play like we're capable of, we're a very tough out.
The Eagles hope to match their 2015 feat when they won the tournament and advanced into NCAA regional action. The 63rd District Baseball title will be up for grabs tonight when Russell entertains upstart Raceland at 6 o'clock. The Young Rams surprised almost everyone but themselves last night by upsetting defending 16th Region champions Greenup County 8-2 and advancing into the title contest. Raceland coach Marty Mills says even though his team has only two seniors, they're a very mature group.
I think we maintain and we handle other people's pressures better than what our years are. We're getting better at that as the year goes on, and I think that they understand it's not just about one play, but there's multiple plays within that play, and they're baseball kids, and they understand that stuff.
While Raceland has a 17-14 record, Russell is 22-13. The Rams fell twice to the Red Devils during the regular season. Also in district baseball play tonight, a champion will be crowned in the 62nd District in West Liberty. After last night's first-round game was canceled due to field conditions, East Carter and Morgan County will do battle at 5:30. The winner of that game will go on to play one-seed West Carter tonight as well at 8. West Carter went 4-0 against district opponents this year, but head coach Tim Johnson says his team needs to have a better effort in the field in order to win a championship.
We hit the ball pretty well, and our guys kind of pride themselves in every trip to the plate, but sometimes they don't value that ball hit to them in the field as much. And we've got to get better fundamentally, on defense. We've got to make better throws, back up every play, be in a position where we need to make the play.
In the first game, East Carter went 2-0 against Morgan County in the regular season, beating them 6-4 and 3-0 in the two meetings. Round County takes its shot at advancing into the 61st District Fast Pitch Softball Tournament tonight. The Lady Vikings will face Bath County at 6 o'clock in Flemingsburg. Round Coach Larry Sloan says as the season has worn on, his 19-9 Lady Vikings have come on strong.
Our defense has been exceptional. We've gotten some good pitching in some key situations. Our hitting is getting better. It's improving as we speak, as we go through the season. So those things have progressed like they're supposed to year to year. Our younger kids have gotten better.
The winner of tonight's Round Bath game will face Fleming County Thursday evening in the 61st District Championship game. The Lady Panthers routed Menifee last night 7-0 to advance. A former University of Kentucky football coach is dealing with a serious health issue. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
WKYT-TV reports that Guy Morris, who coached the Wildcats in 2001 and 2002, is battling Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Greg Jika, who's been treating the 66-year-old Morris, told the station that his condition is likely the result of the 15 years he spent as an offensive lineman in the NFL. Thanks to drugs and therapy, Morris has reportedly improved after hitting a point where he couldn't dress himself or tie his shoes. Morris took over at UK after Hal Mumme left in the wake of a recruiting scandal. After his two seasons with the Cats, he moved down to Baylor, compiling an 18-40 record in five seasons. He moved back to Lexington in 2015. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz.
In the NBA tonight, the Cleveland Cavaliers will look to go up 3-1 over the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals at 8:30. After the Celtics pulled off an upset win in Cleveland on Sunday, Cavs forward LeBron James says his team needs to get back to playing with an edge.
Let our foot off the gas a little bit. You know, didn't keep the pressure on them like we have been accustomed to it, but you know, we have to play a lot better. You know, we have to play a lot better in game four. I mean, if it was going to happen, let's let it happen now. Let us regroup and all the narrative and everything that was going on, let's regroup and let's get back to playing desperate basketball.
One other note from the NBA, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical, Milwaukee general manager John Hammond has agreed to become the new GM of the Orlando Magic. And finally in sports, a motorcycle racing champion and Owensboro, Kentucky native has died in Italy. Paul Miles reports.
Nicky Hayden was critically injured last week, hit by a car while training on a bicycle. He died 5 days later. Nicknamed the Kentucky Kid, Hayden won the MotoGP title in 2006 and was 13th in this season's Superbike standings, riding for the Red Bull Honda team. Nicky Hayden was 35 years old. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed higher as hope around the Trump trade was renewed among investors, particularly on the heels of his successful international trip. And at the close, the Dow did show a gain of 43.08 at 20,937.91. The S&P 500 was up 4.4 at 2398.42. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 5.09 at 6138.71. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 3-2 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Investors paid attention to the White House's proposed budget for next year. In it, the White House is seeking to cut federal spending by $3.6 trillion over the next 10 years. In Europe, stocks traded mostly higher despite an attack that killed at least 22 people and injured dozens at a concert in Manchester, England. In economic news, new home sales fell 11.4% in April to seasonally adjusted annual rate of 569,000, which was a big miss because going into the report, it had been forecast that new home sales would actually fall to an annual rate of 610,000. And historically, such a large miss can spell trouble for the market, according to a number of technical analysts. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.75%, and gold was down 0.78%. Among S&P 500 stocks, your best performers were Agilent Technologies, Archer Daniels Midland, and Nucor. Your worst performers were AutoZone, Alexion Pharmaceuticals, and Brown-Forman. In the Dow Industrials, the best performers were Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and J.P. Morgan, while your worst performers were Home Depot, Disney, and International Business Machines, IBM. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a final look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of rain showers early in the evening, lows around 58 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with an 80% chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs around 70 degrees. And it is currently 70 degrees in Morehead. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, Suzanne Duvall, and Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.